zone in to refocus, to find the heart of Christmas and to find clarity is what I pray God will do in each of our hearts and remove some of those things that are distracting us from our Savior and hone in very clearly on his message of love and grace and forgiveness this Christmas season. So to do that, this morning, I'd like to, if you are visualization people, I invite you to close your eyes, and as a preacher, I'm always very leery of inviting that, but if you will, you just have to promise me you're going to open them before I say amen at the end of this, all right? What I'd like you to visualize this morning is the bumpiest road that you've ever traveled on. I want you in your mind's eye to picture that road, what was going on around. I'd like you to feel in your body as if you are driving over that road. How does it feel? What are the thoughts that are going on in your mind as you are traveling over this road? Now, as you're traveling over this road, I also want you to visualize and to feel what it's like when you get off that bumpy road and you hit the smooth pavement again. You got that experience in your mind? All right, you can open your eyes. Or as one person told me years ago, he goes, Pastor, don't worry, when I close my eyes, it's just I'm really concentrating hard on your sermon. I'm like, got it. Does that mean you're really concentrating when I hear snoring too? Is that like the same? But you have that picture in your mind. You have that emotion that you're driving through a road that perhaps looks like this or even worse. Can you picture where you were, what you were doing? How it felt? What you were thinking about as you're driving over this road? You could probably do the same thing with a very curvy road, like especially if you're one that gets motion sickness pretty easily. Like if you can picture going, you know, where you're weaving back and forth and you're just like, you know, you're physically kind of getting dizzy inside because you're weaving back and forth. And then that feeling when the road straightens or the road smooths, and it's almost like your tension level just kind of drops, doesn't it? So I'd like to just share my experience, and yours is probably similar in some ways, maybe different, but the bumpiest road that I can remember, and I still, as I thought about the scripture that we're going to share today, was in Northern California. So these graphics give you a little bit of an idea. This is a tradition my brother, who's a year and a half older, Steve, and my dad is also a pastor, so Holy Week in the Christian church year, Palm Sunday, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter, was always a very busy week for him. So by the time we got after Easter, it was time to just take a break. So one of the things that we enjoy doing, and my dad loves woodworking and that sort of thing, is, and we lived in California around the San Francisco Bay Area, is we would travel north a few hours to Eureka, if you remember where that is, into the Redwood Country. So some of the roads really wove, and you can see, I should have put an arrow, but kind of the middle road to the right of the freshwater lagoon, at one point was the old highway, and that's how they, now the highway is straight, but just to give you a picture of a straight and crooked, or a crooked road, and then how they straightened it. But this was a portion that led up to a little community called Oreck, California, north of Eureka. And usually we'd stop at Eureka, but once in a while we'd travel another hour or so north to this little community called Oreck, because the destination of Oreck, and I don't know how my dad found this out, but it was a place where driftwood would collect on the beaches. Now you're like, what in the world is driftwood? So driftwood, in the Redwood Country, they do a lot of logging. And so when there were storms in the coastal hills, some of that debris would wash out into the ocean. And then when there was another storm in the Pacific, it would wash back up on shore. And then as the tide receded, all this root systems and all these pretty cool, and the goal was to find these cool pieces of wood that God had created and molded through all this washing and storms and all that, And then my dad at the time, he would make wall hangings and stuff out of these. So we'd try and find cool pieces of driftwood. And so the destination was the beach at Oreck that had all this driftwood. But to get there, so you can kind of see way in the bottom right, you see a little piece of the Highway 101 sign. And it goes through this little community way in the bottom bottom right. And we cross the Redwood Creek. And there was a road, and you see where the yellow arrow is. So it's this windy, twisty road that ran by a few farms. And then you see it up on the top side, not the straight line, but the part from where it branches off. I wish I had a little laser pointer. Kind of top left, center right, where the bend of the river, the creek is. That little road that branches off and then runs right along the creek. And after we went through all this winding, and then we got on this road, and there were so many potholes on this road. And you'd bump and you'd jostle. And like no matter where Dad drove the car, it's like boom, 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 right? And you're just like boom, boom. Like and you'd veer to the right a little bit, and there was more there, and veer to the left a little bit. And the whole car, and I don't think we could go more than like 5 miles an hour, right? Otherwise you'd blow out your shocks and your suspension. You're like bouncing over this road. And finally, after about a quarter mile of this, we'll go to the next slide. Along this little road was this parking area. And you could get out, the car finally stopped. And then we see that all the little reddish-brown, that was the beach where all this driftwood had collected. All right, so then we spent a few hours there. And then you had to get back in the car and drive all the way back around this curvy road and back onto the highway. And I just remember the emotion after that, and maybe you can relate with this too, after that bumpy road, you hit that smooth pavement, even though the road was curvy, at least like your whole muscles relaxed, right? Because when you're going over that bumpy road, like you're tense and you're trying to prevent your head from hitting the window or the ceiling or wherever, and you're tense, right? Whether you're driving or riding, you're just like, this. Can we find, like you're just craving a smooth road. And if you've gone, and then you go around all these curvy, and you're going like 10 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, you speed up, slow down, and you just want that straight road where you can just kind of relax, put the cruise control on, and go smoothly, right? Can you experience that with me? Right? You have your own picture, you have your own experience of that. This is what came to mind of those potholes and those roads of life. The next picture just gives you, this is the close-up of, like, it's just a mess of, like, lumber and stuff, but inside there are some pretty cool pieces once in a while. That's a physical experience. What I'd like you now to just in your mind's eye picture how smooth or straight is life's road for you right now. As you think of December 10th, 2017, do you feel like you're on cruise control and the road's straight and smooth ahead of you? Or are you feeling jostled? Feeling like you're zigzagging back and forth and just craving a smooth, straight road or just craving to get out of the bumps of life? This is what God is going to speak into this morning from Isaiah chapter 40. And the thing that always amazes me is the heart of God, because sometimes we misunderstand the heart of God. In the moments where we're going through life's challenges and difficulties, and a lot of them admittedly because of something we've done or we've orchestrated or have some culpability in, that sometimes we get mad at God and we don't want to hear what he has to say. And so I'm just inviting to put that aside and understand the heart of God. And I love these opening words of Isaiah chapter 40. That are on the screen here. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And so what God is coming to the people of Israel, and these were people that their road was crooked. They deviated from the Lord. They came back. They deviated again. They had potholes. They had rocky places. They had valleys of life. They were too much pride, etc., and God still loved them. And what God wanted them to experience by what he's about to say in the verses that follow is his comfort and his encouragement and his tender love. And he wants you to experience that too. No matter where life is at for you right now and how rocky and we're going to work through that, where he wants to smooth that pathway of life, And he wants to work in our heart to turn away from those things that create the potholes and create the valleys of life and turn back to him where his love and forgiveness and grace would be found. So verse 3 says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. So this is God's desire. Again, when you think of that emotionally with that rocky, bumpy, crooked road and you hit that straight, smooth sailing, that's what God wants us to experience and desires that we experience in life, even when life gets rocky, bumpy, and hilly, etc., to understand that his desire is to have a straight pathway. And so this morning, I'm inviting God's Spirit to do some road construction on your heart and my heart. And you're like, not road construction, right? You've been driving down a road and you're like, you see those yellow cones and you see a detour sign, you're like, oh man. And now it's a little bit easier because you have your Google Maps or Waze or all those things that deviate. But a detour takes time, right? A detour takes extra energy. And so God is going to work some road construction on our hearts this morning with these next verses. Verse 4 says, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, and the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. As that happens, let's look at verse 5, and then we'll come back to verse 4. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So let's go back to verse 4. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill be made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. Let's think through this. From a spiritual component, what's going on in your heart? And it may not be all of these things, but it may be some of these things. And then we'll work through how God works this road construction so that his glory is seen and that the hard service is done and we once again allow and see his love and his grace at work in our hearts and lives. So the valleys of life, these are what I would compare to those low spots that perhaps are caused by discouragement, they're caused by heartache, they're caused by perhaps depression, where we lose hope. A valley, when I picture it, like there's some very beautiful valleys in our countryside, but when we talk about it spiritually, it's kind of looking up at the side of the cliffs and just feeling overwhelmed by how am I ever going to get out of this valley. We sometimes attach the phrase, I've hit bottom, right? Where we kind of lose hope about what life is, the importance of life or the significance of life. And again, it can be, sometimes it's external circumstances that we interpret and it causes us. And sometimes it's our own doing as well that gets us into that particular scenario. And sometimes it's a combination of both. And we look up and the cliffs seem so high and so insurmountable, we seem so alone and we seem so lonely at the bottom of this valley and wondering, why does God have me here? And what is he doing? And sometimes those valleys are characterized by the whys of life. We go, God, why am I struggling with this illness? Why this relationship difficulty? Why is this going on at work? Why is this happening? And again, we're in this valley that discourages us, that causes us to lose hope, despair. Every valley will be raised up. I don't want to create an overly discouraging picture, but let's just work through these in our own hearts because God, like I said, his goal is comfort. His goal is to speak tenderly to our heart. His goal is to create a smooth pathway, right? So now he's taking us kind of through those bumps and we're just like, what's the solution? We're going to hit that smooth road. Just hang on. The mountains shall be made low. You're like, God, why would you want to bring the mountains low? Because when I'm on a mountaintop, things are good usually, right? When I talk about a mountain peak of my life or success, it's like those are great moments, right? Where life's going good. God, why would you want to bring those low? Not that success is bad, not that accomplishing things is evil in any means. But what sometimes happens on those mountain peaks is our pride and our ego become our own self-glory, don't they? And we stand at the top of the mountain peak and go, look, hey, look at how great I am. Look at all I've accomplished. And we're on that mountain peak, And the reason we desire to be on the mountain peak is because then everybody gives us the glory we think we deserve for whatever we accomplished. And sometimes that even can be spiritually. God, look at how great a Christian I've been. You know, look at all the things I've done. Look at how much I volunteer. Look at how much I give. God, look at me. Thank God I'm not like all those, the rest of the people. But look at me. I'm on the top of your mountain peak. And that's where God says we need to bring that mountain peak down. Because your heart is not humble. It is full of pride. It is full of arrogance. It is full of self-righteousness. And all of that is preventing you from seeing my glory show up in your life. The rough places, the rough ground. To me, these are that road you pictured with all the potholes. That's the picture that Isaiah is here, this rough ground that we travel over in life. And the rough ground, I guess how I see the rough ground of life are those, perhaps the smaller things in life that continue to trip us up. And perhaps these things are thoughts that we have about someone or something that we know aren't right and we struggle against, but we just can't see that person in a different light. And it creates an emotional energy that we spend in anger or frustration. And it happens, like we get over it and then it happens again. It's like you feel the jostle of the car. Or perhaps these things in life, you just kind of think through the Ten Commandments and the ways that we don't always follow them, and we find as a result we're hitting the bumps of life, right? Where we perhaps it's thinking about, like, the seventh commandment talks about not stealing, but it also in that commandment God is touching our heart in regard to greed or financial worry and all those things that God just wants us to trust in Him, and we work through our finances and we're like, we start to worry and we start to fret and we go, how are these things gonna pay out? And we hit that bump and we're like, God, I know I need to trust in you, but I'm struggling to do it right now. Or maybe it's something that we struggle with. Maybe it's an anger issue that we know we don't want to fly off the handle, but we just, like, in a moment, we just get this fit of rage, and it just comes out, and we're like, ugh! And, like, you hit that pothole, and then you got relationships to repair, and you got to go back, and you got to try and heal that, and all that energy that takes if I would just curtailed that angry outburst at the moment. Or maybe it's, you know, even things like you watch the daily news and you see what's going on and there's a fit of worry and discouragement of whatever is going on in the news or the world, and you see all these things going on and inside you have this anxiety and like, God, I know I don't need to worry about that, but like I can't help about it. Like they're shooting up nukes and they're going to this, that, and the other thing. And inside, like, you have a jostle in life and these things that get our distraction off of the Lord and off of His glory and create these potholes that we ride over in life. The rugged places. Rugged places are bigger obstacles. These are things like if you're off-roading, you know, you can't do this in your normal sedan. You gotta have a Jeep four-wheel drive to get up some of these rocky, rugged places. Right? And these are the obstacles in life that by normal means you look at them, that this is too big. I don't know how I'm gonna get around this. I don't know how I'm gonna get over this. And again, these are things that from your human standpoint, go, this is too big. And I don't, and perhaps in that moment you think, I don't even know how God is going to get me around this. And again, this can affect different aspects of life, whether it's challenges maybe in parenting or grandparenting, maybe it's kids, current or grown-up kids, maybe it's the aspect of work and dealing with relationships there, or just trying to perform in a way that accomplishes what you're supposed to accomplish. Or maybe it's in relationships where there's great strain right now where you just don't know, how am I ever going to fix this? It seems so broken. And those rocky places, those rough places where the obstacle just seems so insurmountable that inside we just feel, I don't know what to do anymore. Can you feel some or a few of those, one or two, three of those going on in your heart? And what happens with all of those is, what do? They distract us from what God really wants us to see. He says, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. When all these things are made level and smooth, right? It's like driving down that road and you're like, boom, boom. Or you see this big rock and you got to cruise around it or whatever. You got to get all these obstacles in life. Like, it emotionally, it taxes us. Mentally, it taxes us. Spiritually, it attacks us. And it distracts us from seeing the heart of God and the glory that he brings. And so how does the God who wants to bring us comfort and wants the smoothness of our heart to be there, what does he do to help in those situations? I'd like to go to the next verses in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. God says this, "You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." So now let's go back, because again, these aren't words of condemnation. They are words that call our heart to repentance and turn back to our Savior. But what he wants us to experience is this smooth road, right? Again, recapture that in your mind, that emotion when you came off that bumpy road onto smooth pavement, or out of that curvy road and onto this smooth, straight pavement. There's an emotional relief, isn't there? And that's what God wants to bring to our hearts. So how does he do that? What brings up those low places, down the high places, fills in those rough spots, gets us around the rocky spots, and creates smoothness in our hearts? So once again, we see the glory and the impact and the love and the forgiveness that God has for us. Let's go back and work through those four areas. The valleys, right, where it just seems like I don't see a way out of this. There are so many promises in the Scripture that we could find others, but I just found one for each to hold on to this morning. And if one of these areas really is God's working on your heart and you need more suggestions, let me know, or just search your Scripture for promises that God gives. So the first one in the valleys says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Does it not feel when you're in those valleys that God has left you and God doesn't care? And that's in our selfish nature wants to think that God doesn't care, God's abandoned you, and you're all on your own. And this promise says God has not abandoned you. In fact, he is right there with you. And perhaps he has you there for you to look up. Because sometimes when you're at bottom, the only direction you can look is up. And you realize, I've been trying to figure this out. I've been trying to navigate this on my own. I've worried myself sick over it. And I haven't turned it over to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need your help." And this promise is, humble yourselves before God's mighty hand. Right? His hand is stronger than anything going on. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to resolve that situation right now in your life, but look, it says, in due time. I don't know exactly what God is working in the valley of your life right now, but I know he's at work as we allow him to do that. I know he is working to raise us up. And it may not even be that the situation changes, but my heart and my perspective and my attitude towards that situation changes. So now, instead of seeing and having anxiety and worry and stress about that thing, I see the glory of God and I see his hand at work. And I see my heart coming at peace, because I once again see a God of all comfort and a God of all hope at work in the situations that seem so hopeless. The mountains. These were King David's words in 2 Samuel chapter 22. "You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low." You see, King David, if you remember a little bit from his life, remember who he was? He was that shepherd boy. He had a resume of warriors. Right, he would, as a shepherd, he killed the lion and those that attacked the sheep. And then, remember, as a young man, he some people have called me Goliath. I don't really like that because of what David did to Goliath. But I get to, back in the previous call for our kindergartners, I was the tallest thing, and so between them and me, I got to play Goliath. Like I said, I always ended up on the floor, and they always, whatever. I still have my head, so that's a good thing. But David had his resume, and in fact, people recognized that, and they praised David for the thousands that he had killed, and the king at the time, King Saul, kind of got the short end of the stick, and said, "David, you're greater, and Saul, you're lesser." And then David becomes the next king, and he's at the top of the top in Israel. And he thought he could use that power to appease his sinful nature. And so he committed adultery, and he killed the husband of the gal that he had adultery with. And the child that she bore, God took away from them at a young age. And so David knew what it was like to be on the pinnacle, and where his ego and his pride and his own self-righteousness, he thought, would carry the day. And God said, you can't be in that spot where your heart thinks you got it all together and are glorifying yourself. And so he fell into sin, and God brought him low so that his heart once again realized that my glory and my strength are not in myself, but in my gracious God. And that's why God wants to bring down sometimes the pinnacles of life. Again, not that they're bad, or not that we don't use our best to succeed, etc. But God's always interested in the heart. And if we're on a pinnacle of pride, it may not be too soon when he brings that down to keep you humble so that you see his glory, not just your own. The rough ground. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. There's so much in this verse that comes to mind, but perhaps this is, if you think of more of the crooked road, and if you think of life where you're like, hey, that sounds good, and we start following our own desires over here. God calls us back, and then we start following our own desires over here. And what happens in life with these rough places, if I'm honest with myself, it's usually a time where I'm not trusting in the Lord, when I'm leaning on my own understanding, and I'm not acknowledging him. Would you agree that the rough places in life come about because I'm not trusting in the Lord, I'm leaning on my own understanding, and I'm not acknowledging him? And the straight and smooth paced times of life, aren't they not the times where the Lord is leading my life and I have trust in him, and I lean on his wisdom instead of my own, and I seek him for understanding, and I acknowledge him first instead of myself first, and he makes my path straight. And sometimes I'm like, this isn't rocket science, Mike. But my sinful nature loves to create a crooked path out of what God desires to be a straight path. And sometimes those rough parts are God waking us up and jolting us and saying, where's your trust? Where's your wisdom coming from? Who's first in your life? And again, it's not that he promises every part of our life will not be without challenge. Don't get me wrong. But it gives us a way to navigate those challenges. And finally, the rugged places. The rugged places. These are Jesus' words. Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I don't want to get us there are times where, you know, you're trying to move like a heavy boulder in your yard, and you're like, well, God said I could move. I have yet to mentally move a mountain. I don't know if anybody here has, but so I look at that and I go, what is God saying? When I think about the spiritual rocks that get in my way, when I think of the situations in life that seem insurmountable and not able to overcome, where do I look to move those things? I look to my own abilities, my own mind, my own rational thinking, and say, what can I do to fix this? And how can I go about this? And God does give us minds to think and to act, but in line with him. And Jesus is putting first, he says, let faith be your driver. Let trust in me and my almighty power, and realize that with me, nothing is impossible. So if I start saying this is impossible, God is calling my faith back to him and saying, with God, nothing is impossible. Does that mean I will always get my way? No. Does it mean that God will always do what's best? Yes. Does it mean that he will always remove the obstacle? No. Does it mean that he will use the obstacle to strengthen my faith with him? Yes. Like I said, these are just a few of the promises of God. But let me ask you this. How does it feel when God clears your heart? Perhaps there's just one of these passages that resonated with you. And so, you know what? I already feel like my road is a little bit smoother and my heart is a little more clear on where God wants me. I've been trusting in myself. However that is, maybe it's just one part in your heart. And that's all I'm praying, that God works in each of us. Just one of those valleys, those mountains, those rough places, the rocky ground, whatever it is, that God's word of truth and his promises begin to raise up that valley, bring down the mountain, smooth out the rough places, and navigate us through those rocky grounds. And doesn't it start to feel better when I realize I don't have to carry this alone? When I feel hopeless, I have hope in Christ. When life gets rocky, I can trust in him. And I don't mean these as pithy statements, because sometimes it can come across, well, just trust in God more, believe in God more. But don't hear that when I'm saying that way. I'm praying that these words of promise are reality for you. Because I know my sinful nature, and I know my heart deviates right and left, and it deviates and it bumps me along. And I realize in those moments, it's more about me than it is about God. And part of this just heart work is God says, I want you to experience my love and my grace and my heart to speak into whatever situation you're going through. Your biggest problem in life is taken care of, and that's your sin on the cross of Jesus Christ. From the manger in Bethlehem, that little child who grew up to hang there for you and rose again to prove it was all true. And then when I realize my biggest problem in life is taken care of, does it not make those valleys come up and those mountains come low and the rough places become smooth and the rocky places I can navigate straight through? Even if the challenges are not removed, the way God navigates me through them is smooth and straight. Discovering the heart of Christmas is discovering the heart of God. And the heart of God this morning wants you to find his comfort and his clarity of who he is and what he's done for you. And the verses that finished our lesson this morning, like a shepherd tends his sheep. And wherever life is right now, however rocky or crooked or straight or smooth, if you can go back to that emotion when you hit smooth and straight road again, and your muscles relaxed, and your stress went down, and your tension was alleviated, I want you to picture yourself in the hands of your good shepherd. And whatever worry and stress and tension, sin, guilt is on your heart, to just feel his embrace and to know that he has your heart. And if you want proof, it's the baby in the manger of Bethlehem that was God's heart for you, to send you comfort, to send you hope, to send you grace, to send you forgiveness, and for you to have that in your heart this Christmas. Amen. May God's peace that smooths our bumpy roads and turns us back to him, may that peace be in your hearts and minds, not only today, but always. Amen.